Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give me your words today. Give us the message from these scriptures that you want us to hear, and let everything else fall away, Lord. Let us amend our lives, let us live righteously, and let us know that you love us, care for us, and that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So good morning again. Today we're continuing through our journey, our study through 2 Timothy and Paul's pastoral epistles. And last week, Pastor Dennett talked about soldiers. He talked about athletes, and he talked about farmers. Soldiers who are working hard to please their master, athletes who are beating their bodies, working hard to win a prize, and farmers who are working hard to prepare the ground for the crops in order to reap a harvest. And I want to do a little bit of a review of those for two reasons. First and foremost, our passage today starts out with remember. So it's kind of almost like a therefore. What's it there for? So Paul is telling Timothy to remember something. So I want to go back a little bit and discuss what he's telling him to remember. Also, I don't know about all of you, but I don't assume that everyone here knows what it's like to be a soldier or an athlete or a farmer. I've been in two out of three of those situations, and I've also worked on a farm to cut firewood and help friends bale hay and that sort of thing. So I have a little bit of taste, but going away from last week, I just kind of thought, I'm not sure if that's one of those things that people are not sure how to apply in their lives. And when I thought about this, a few different themes emerged. The first, and this is something that we talk a lot about in the military, is esprit de corps. It's camaraderie. It's people gathered around one cause that's bigger than themselves. Esprit de corps. The athlete trains. They discipline themselves. They do certain things over and over and over again to give themselves muscle memory, endurance, and the ability for their bodies to go further, because your mind will actually take you further if you train it. Your mind will take you further than your body will go. Your body wants to quit right now. But if you train it, if you discipline yourself, you can go on and on and on and on. And the third is faithfulness. And I always, whenever I preach, whenever I do anything, I'm always looking for signs that I'm on the right track, that I'm giving the right message, that I'm not totally blowing it and confusing everybody. And we came into practice for the music, and the first thing Anna said, she said, you know what, I'm thinking this word that keeps coming up, faithfulness. And I'm like, wow, there it is. It's one of the words I got this morning. And I'm not saying that I need to correct anything, obviously, that Dennett said. I just want to add to it and give us a little bit more context. Because, again, most of us have not served in the military or on the police force or the fire department. How many people here played sports and practiced to the extent and an athlete does? You know, football players, two practices a day. You know, I played hockey. We practiced at 11 o'clock at night. It was a sacrifice. And then farmers, I don't assume that anybody knows has ever grown. Maybe you've done some gardening, maybe you know, put some plants in the house or outside the house. But I don't expect that you've grown food for your sustenance or raised animals so that you and your family can survive, let alone have a whole community of people counting on you for that harvest at the end of the year. People that have fought in wars, people who are on a team, people who are doing something for the benefit of the whole community, they understand how to work for something greater than themselves. And some of you, a lot of you here are parents, and I've seen a lot of mama bears that you don't want to mess with. I've seen their kids, someone kind of do something to them, and this really nice little person all of a sudden turns into, you know, like a wild animal, and you go, wow, don't mess with mama bear. In that family, that concept is an overarching concept. It's something that's greater than ourselves, something that we live for and protect and work towards the benefit of those folks. And we all have to have something that we're willing to fight for. And I'm not talking about fighting on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere where I can put something down and hide behind my keyboard, hide behind my computer screen. But I mean eye to eye, face to face, belly to belly, something that you're willing, for lack of a better phraseology, to go to the asphalt for. What are you willing to go outside? Let's take this out to the parking lot. And I'm not sure that everybody in the world has something like that. In some places, they would call that your why. Why are you doing this? Why are you showing up here every week and serving in the way that you do? Why do we have 15 people that traveled all the way to Asheville, North Carolina to engage in ministry? In all these things, we sacrifice things that we want, possibly. We sacrifice our own desires. And I mean, again, kids are the best. You know, all your money, all your time, all your energy. I think I've broken every window in my dad's house at one point in time or another. So he sacrificed those kind of things. But what is it that you'll fight for? You'll put sleep, or put it over and above sleep, eating, having fun, things that you want. And like I said, farmers, they have faith, not only working for something greater day and night, but you put the seed in the ground, and then you have to hope that it comes up, that something grows. You have to hope for that rain at the beginning of the season that cultivates the ground, that softens it up so that you can plant. And then you have to plant and be faithful and do it in the right amount of time. And then you have to trust that the latter rain is going to come. That rain at the end of the season or the middle of the season is going to come and grow so that you have a harvest. And everything that we do in church, everything we do in our faith before the Lord, has that faith piece in it. Me, as an evangelist, I have no idea if something that I said will ever made an effect on somebody. You know, some people, when you hear evangelists, some people hear the person that prays people into heaven. I'm not that kind of evangelist. I'm not a closer, per se. I'm more of a encourager. I like to have conversations. I like to tell people things to get them to think. And it's very rare that I ever know whether or not something that I said had an effect. But that seed goes into the ground, and I trust the Lord who is faithful to make that grow. And sometimes I pray things like, I hope that person can't sleep at night until they actually think about what I said to them. So all of us have to understand why we're here. What's the big picture? What's the overarching thing that keeps us coming back? We also, like the athlete, have to have certain activities that we do, certain disciplines that keep us focused on that common goal. And what happens when we don't focus on those things? We drift, and that's why we say confession. Lord, I've erred and strayed from your ways like a lost sheep. In me, there's no help. Apart from your grace, there's no help. And then here's where we can turn that soldier, farmer, athlete context into our own. We've all had experiences. There's a lot of people in here with gray hair. After the shower this morning, I found a really long white hair, and I thought, man, I should take that out, but I didn't. We draw on the things that we've been through in the past. Even if you weren't a Christian, even if you didn't know that you were saved, even if you didn't know that you know, there were times that things happened to you in your life where the Lord was there, whether you saw it or not. There's experiences that you've been through. That if you look back on it today, it'll allow you to have the faith that you need to do the things that God wants us to do. To know that things will be okay, that He is working all things together for our good. And Paul begins this passage with Timothy, remember. So remember these things that I told you. And at the beginning of the next passage, after this one, he also says, remind the people in the congregations. Remind them of these things. And more I'm in any kind of a leadership position, the more and more I understand that most of what I'm doing is reminding people of things they already know. A lot of people want me to come up here and be more animated. They want me to maybe, you know, raise my voice. Hey, you should be a little more emotional. Sorry, it's not my style. And I'm not trying to get anyone all fired up. Like, you people come here every Sunday. Why would I yell at you? Can I just tell you, like, you know, like we're driving somewhere in the car and I just say, you know, hey, Jesus loves you. You have a testimony. Tell them about it. Or do I have to jump up and down? Do I have to get excited? I mean, I am excited. But he says, remember. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. One commentator that I read explained that Jesus' deity and his humanity is on display in this verse. Because he had the authority to lay down his life and to pick it up again. And I'd add, his deity, that Jesus is the eternal co-creator. What's it say in our creeds? Of all that is visible and invisible. Everything that was ever made was made by him, for him. And nothing that was ever made was made without him. And Paul goes on to say that this is the gospel that I preach. I'm in chains for this gospel. I'm locked up like a common criminal as if I'd done something wrong. But my intentions are pure. My mission is true. And I don't know if any of us will ever be locked up for our faith or beaten for our faith or shipwrecked like Paul was. I think the most we deal with in this country is maybe not feeling like we can talk about something. We'll get in trouble at work. Hey, you shouldn't be talking about Jesus here. People can talk about whatever other crazy religion that they follow in the workplace or in the schools. A little bit of a double standard there. But we don't experience the persecution that people do in other places. Celia and I were talking about that yesterday. I said, you know, when's the last time someone tried to blow up our church? They don't. Some countries they do. But Paul, he's locked up like a common criminal. This greatest story ever told, this gospel, this good news, I'm suffering for it. But what I've received, I pass on to you. That on the night Jesus was betrayed, the night that he was handed over to suffering and death. Timothy, this is the good news. This is the gospel. Jesus took our sins upon him. The eternal, sinless God-man became sin and died in our place, that even though we die, we will live. We will have eternal life. I'm chained, but that message is not chained. That message, if you send it out, it's going to go out and it's going to do its thing. I promise you. And that's why I'll endure beatings. That's why I'll endure shipwrecks and jail and anything else. And I do it for the sake of the elect. I suffer, Jesus suffered, and any of us who go after him, if any of us choose to go after him, what must we do? We must pick up our cross and follow him. And maybe we will lose something. I don't know. Maybe you'll lose a job. Maybe you'll lose savings, money, an income. I don't know. But remember the big picture. Remember our commanding officer. Keep training hard and have faith that things will turn out. Maybe not here and now, but in the end. In these things that we suffer, there are things that we can draw upon to go back to comfort someone else who's in trouble. But also, when we go through another trial, well, here it comes again, and we can bear up under. That word endurance is hupomene, to bear up under. And like I said, sometimes we haven't seen Jesus working all things together for our good. But if we look back and we think about it, he was there all along. And maybe you've suffered, not as a farmer or someone in the military or an athlete, pushing your body and your mind to the edge. But we've all been born into this world. We all suffer. Maybe we've been abandoned by a so-called friend. Maybe we've lost a loved one. I know the people in here have gone through cancer. They have loved ones that are going through cancer. And maybe God healed them. Maybe you prayed and God healed them. But maybe God didn't heal him. What do you do with that? As we follow Christ, we will lose these things for his sake. And Paul says, I endure all these things for the sake of the elect. There's a lot of theology in this little six verses passage. Who are the elect? The elect are those who are called to follow and do. Those whose hearts are oriented toward God and loving obedience. And loving obedience, anytime someone says obedience, I want to say, we're obedient, but we can't do it perfectly. But we do know the sin and shame and guilt that Jesus freed us from. We felt the forgiveness and grace poured out abundantly and lavishly upon us like oil flowing down Aaron's beard. We know him and we try to live for him as best we can, and we have to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And anyone here who hasn't suffered for Christ, maybe you don't have gray hair yet. Maybe there hasn't been a whole lot of terrible things happening in your life. Or maybe you're a person that just hasn't gotten into the deep end yet. You haven't jumped in deep water where the Lord said, go, and you were kind of like, let me tip my toe in. That water seems a little cold and deep. That's why they call it a leap of faith. Sometimes you got to jump and you don't know where you're going to land and how you're going to land. But you know the one that's telling you to jump is faithful, and he's not going to leave you in the lurch. And it's important to remember that Jesus was raised to life because he conquered death, because he didn't just die and stay dead. He was raised to life and therefore conquered death, so there's nothing that we have to fear. And these are the things that Paul's telling Timothy to remember. He's saying, Timothy, remember your heritage and all that God has done to bring his people out of Egypt. All that he did to choose the apostles and prophets, and now pastors, teachers, singers, all the people, like one of our songs said, all the people of the royal priesthood. If you remember these things, Timothy, you'll be able to endure. You'll be able to not only endure and get through it, but you'll be able to do it with joy. You'll be able to sing like me and Silas when we were locked up. You'll have the joy in the midst of pain. Like I said, some haven't suffered because it hasn't happened yet, but it will. Some haven't suffered. They have to ask themselves, or we should all ask themselves. We all need to take an inventory. Have we ever picked up our cross? Have we ever done the thing that the Lord has asked us to do? Where we have nothing else to rely on except him. My own education, my own wits, my own strength is not going to help me here. If I get out of this one, it's because the Lord brought me through it. Are we willing to leave everything to follow Jesus? This is the point at which a person can be born again, when they will or are willing to forsake all else when they realize that if they're going to live with him, they also must die with him. And to reign with him, we must endure until the end. We are the elect, we are chosen by God, but we also must endure. I don't know how those two things work together. That's like a Reformed theology and a Catholic theology, all wrapped in one, and somehow it's how it works. And verse 12 says, if we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. Some passages say disown. I don't think this is a one-time thing. We remember that Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and then he was restored. I think part of the reason Jesus restored him is because, Peter, I get it, you don't understand the whole story yet. There's still some things going on that you need to see and understand. And for us, in our weakness, in our failings day to day, this is not us, you know, we do deny the Lord in our sin sometimes. And sometimes the way I act, I act as if I don't believe what I say I believe. But to be denied by Jesus is to deny him over and over and over and over again. To where you can't even hear that still small voice anymore. Where you say, I don't hear from God anymore. Well, you don't hear from him because you didn't do what he told you to do in the first place. There are no new instructions. This is it. But somehow, with all this language of denying and disowning, we can have assurance. The biggest assurance is the deposit that we get the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us, to assure us that Jesus loves us. He's the one that gets us to confess our sins. When we do something wrong, it's like, oh, I did something wrong. All right, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And it's immediate. That's how we know he's his. We go through hard things sometimes, and it's the Lord's discipline. What's the Bible say about discipline? Fathers discipline those that they love. So I ask you, have you died with him? Do you want to reign with him? Are you willing to take an inventory of your lives, relationship with Christ, to see if your answer is yes? Is there anything that you're holding on to that you won't let go of? Is there a grudge or a past hurt? Is there a secret sin? I saw a t-shirt or a meme one time. It said, you know, it's hard to give up the demons that we like to play with. I mean, I have my struggles, and my counselor tells me, he's like, don't say struggle, because then people will think you're actively in sin and you're actively doing this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, look, man, I struggle because I compare myself to Jesus. And guess what? I come up short every single time. I don't compare myself to anyone here. I don't compare myself. It's not like watching Jerry Springer. Like, oh, I feel good about myself because all these people are crazy. No, I compare myself to Christ because I want to be like him and I want to be with him. And when I compare myself to him, like I said, I fall short, and I constantly have to rely on his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. And I know that when I'm faithless, even when I'm disobedient, that he is always faithful. And he was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And I can't deny that. I can't live in another reality. I have to keep enduring, keep pressing on. And my assurance comes from that partially, that I continue to show up here on Sunday. I continue to try to preach and learn and teach and tell people my testimony. And when we do wrong, we confess our sins, and He is faithful and just. Cleanse us from our sins and all unrighteousness. So you all, me included, we have to be prepared to proclaim Christ in your own life to the people around you who are dying to hear that they're loved. Do you know how many people don't hear someone say, "I love you"? We got a guy in our motorcycle club, his road name's Nope. Someone said, "Hey, do you have a road name yet?" And he said, "Nope." Guess what his road name is? He's a great guy, though, and he always says, "Hey, everybody, if nobody told you they love you today, Nope loves you. Love you guys. So if nobody told you that they love you today, I love you." People are dying to hear that. They're dying to hear that they can be forgiven for all the stupid, evil, rotten things that they've done in their lives. They're dying to hear that they have something to look forward to and that this world isn't all there is. I mean, look at the passage from Luke. Do we want people to go there? That's reality. Give people your testimony. Give them Jesus. And just continue to do it. Continue a long obedience in the same direction. Not a perfect obedience, but day by day, moment by moment, as best you can, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just keep proclaiming the Lord of Lords and King of Kings until your last breath. And He's not going to deny you on that last day. But He'll invite you into His heavenly kingdom and into the rest of His Father's house. Amen.